And that was one of my responses.
The other thing.
Okay, yeah, everyone, we are.
Oh, right. The other thing also.
Reopening the policy committee just to address the director's report. The reason, as you'll remember, that we adjourned was so that we could circulate papers that were referred to in the report. We have one of those papers, so it's put to us that we can accept the survey findings here. But we have before us one copy, there Fraser, you could lift it up just to show them how much it is, of the other one referred to on coastal, the coastal
environment. 2.4.
Yep. And we're just thinking that it would be a lot better if we attended that. People can read it at their leisure and can endorse it next time, as it's not urgent. That sounds like the best way to go. But as we're discussing urban water quality tomorrow in a workshop, it's really helpful to have this survey. However, we have a whole director's report here as well, if anybody cares to comment. I just wanted to say that I was really impressed with this report. There's a little bit more detail than previous reports, which I think is really useful. But also what I really wanted to point out was at the beginning we've got strategic goals, annual plan, projects and the RPS areas, chapters actually, where we are directly relating to in the report. So I think that's really helpful, and it was an idea that Councillor Deak had put to us, and I'm imagining we will go that way on some of our other reporting as well, aligning with our strategic aims. All right, the report is open for discussion. Everyone's got it there by now, hopefully. Anything particularly to update us on, Mr. McRae?
No. Just a report on these reports. This one here was done in conjunction. It's about trying to find the community's data for water. It's done in conjunction with the urban water quality plan changes and a strategy coming forward. So that's what this report is. And these other three, one is the coastal environment assessment, natural character, outstanding natural features and landscapes, four, and these were done in conjunction with the three coastal district councils, for Waitaki, for Mead and Clutha. And what I'm suggesting is that these will be appended to the next director's report, the next committee round, and we'll bring them back for endorsement at that stage, rather than having taken today if cold. But equally, if you have got the time, have a quick flick through this. This is the water values one, because this will help the discussion tomorrow in the workshop. Apologise for the lateness of those.
Yeah, sorry, got a wee bit confused, obviously, there. We'll take them both next time, but you've seen them anyway, which is helpful. I thought the attitudes, I had a quick read of the summary of findings on that survey, and the attitudes reflected there are actually really, really interesting. It compares urban and rural people's attitudes towards water quality. It seems as though the Tairi River is the river most associated with poor water quality in Otago, which doesn't necessarily measure up to reality. Most urban people particularly, what they're looking for when they're looking for good water quality is something that's clear. So if it's cloudy at all, they're not happy with that. That's poor water quality, so Tairi would leap out at them for that reason. When they think of region-wide, what constitutes pollutants, they think particularly of rural issues. But then if you ask them locally, they then actually do say that it's probably locally other things, like stormwater and industrial discharges and things. But yeah, people immediately leap to rural issues, I guess. A lot of other interesting findings there, so read it if you get a chance, as Mr. McRae said, read it overnight and it will be really useful as we have the workshop tomorrow. There's updates on quantity and planning there with the Lindis and maybe Hirakia and 1D, regional transport as well, bit of an update here on what's been going, and yeah, the recommendations as already discussed, we'll do recommendation A next time. So it would just be recommendation B this time that the report is noted. Anyone want to comment on anything? Councillor Deacon.
Yeah, Madam Chair, thank you. At the bottom of the second page, I was surprised to see that we'd offered feedback on block offer for petroleum exploration. I thought, Madam Chair, that whole issue had gone away. Could Mr. McRae expand a little bit on who made an offer for what block for petroleum exploration?
It's MBE, who annually release parts of the, particularly the coastal marine area EEC zone, for further exploration. And there are offers tendered by various exploration companies for continuing to explore out in the economic zone. And essentially what we talk about is there's lots of space in the economic zone. You really don't need to come into the coastal marine area. But essentially, it's just about highlighting that if there is stuff in the coastal marine area, then we have an interest in that activity. So most of the block offers happen more than 12 miles offshore.
Right, Councillor Laws.
Referring to pages 34 and 35, and further on that, am I reading this right, that the following 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 proposals from national bodies were received to the 20th of January this year, and that we were asked to provide feedback for ranging from climate change to the petroleum exploration, is that correct?
That's correct.
Have those submissions and three feedbacks been provided by the Otago Regional Council?
Yes, under delegation.
Well, I can ask the honest question then. Does the council have policy on those issues?
Yes. We had a paper come on this not long ago, actually, which was discussed at length about delegation to submit.
Okay, so, for example, on petroleum exploration, an enormously controversial and political issue. When did the Otago Regional Council decide its policy? Was it prior to the election of the four new members?
Prior to election of new members.
Last year. It goes back further than that even, because it goes back to, there was some close inshore exploration that took place here. That was some 60 to 80 kilometres offshore, and there was a series of public meetings held, which this council received a paper about, and it was when the block offer system first started, and that's when this council received a paper on that, and essentially we weren't overly concerned, given the distance offshore that it's outside our jurisdiction, but we were concerned about interaction on the inshore side of it, and should there be something happening inside the 12-mile limit. And the council has just held the view that that's its view. So it's not concerned at beyond 12 miles, it will only be concerned within 12 miles.
And so ditto the climate change one, that's at the top.
Climate change one? Yes, that's effectively been in relation to the impact of climate change, in that it has not imposed any extra...
No, what I'm saying is we've got a policy on this one. The Otago Regional Council has a policy on climate change.
It sees climate, the major impact of climate change, as increasing the likelihood, severity or whatever of existing hazards.
So what I'm trying to, I'm a new member, I, I, I'd like to know what those policies are. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to get devilled by political groups who are going to say, well, what's the Otago Regional Council's policy on policy change? And I see that that's there, but I don't know what it is yet. And I haven't, certainly haven't had the chance in my 4 months to engage in any discussion or debate upon it, and I don't know if I will be.
In the context of climate change, the council has not seen its role as advocating for anything greater than the legislation enables now. So effectively, from the Resource Management Act point of view, processing consents, etc., in relation to discharges, the impacts on climate change are not a matter for consideration. So trying to address the cause of climate change is not a matter that this council has been engaged in. Responding to the impacts of climate change, yes. It is something that the council does get engaged in. And so matters like dealing with the South Dunedin situation, for example, as it's a consequence of sea level rise. It's part of the problem. So it's part of a flooding hazard issue rather than climate change per se.
I think you might be reflecting some of the debate that we did have last, well, it wasn't really a debate, it was just a discussion about how we respond to submissions as well. And there was discussion around council about, is it appropriate to have submissions without us having an input potentially to that submission? And we did at that time say that there's delegation to staff to get on with making the submissions happen, but where possible, it would be circulated around the councillors. So that clear message was given. These ones obviously fell over the holiday-ish period, and staff responded under their appropriate delegation. Whether we have specific policies on climate change or oil exploration, we probably don't, but our policies and our plans, like the RPS, we can look to them.
Yeah. There's generally things that are of significance that are changing the current status quo, shall we say, would be brought to this table, preferably prior to lodgement. But at times, as the chair's suggesting, you've got to get your thing in on time to get it considered anyway. So there's occasionally we have to push something ahead. But if we think there's something of consequence, then we would. I would pre-circulate it to occasionally the chair, deputy chair, or to this table even.
Yep.
But that latter one is not very often.
Okay, any other questions or comments then? Oh, Councillor Scott, yeah?
It's just in relation to the proposed work in Queenstown, and there's about, you know, six different bullet points and so forth, and, you know, is the QLDS, are they supportive of that work?
What page is that, sorry?
So you have in development capacity?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, yes, yeah. Yes.
36.
36. Apologies.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Maybe I can comment on that. Otago Regional Chief Executives before Christmas had a teleconference meeting, and we put a paper up explaining our responsibilities as a regional council based on the legislation, and inviting some feedback as some options. And the interesting things that came out of that was that there were three councils, Dunedin, Central Otago and Queenstown Lakes District Council, who said, yes, we want to be part of that.
Yeah.
And we want to work with the regional council. So we will essentially gather up the information probably provided by them and then submit it. So, I mean, yes, there will be some extra resource, but that was required of us by government, but we will not be creating a unit within the organisation. So it's very much working collaboratively with those three TAs that are interested.
That's good. Okay.
Thank you. That's good to hear. No other comments? Okay, well, the report is to be noted.
Happy to move that, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Seconded. Councillor Scott, all in favour?
Aye.
No. Against? Carried, which brings the Policy Committee to a close. Thank you very much.